From Studio 89, overlooking Lake Michigan from downtown Chicago, it's another Big Hour where Chicago comes to talk with Paul Harris on the Big 89.
Happy New Year. Welcome back to a work day or the end of your vacation. Whichever way, we're proud to have you listening here on the Big 89 WLS. And I'm happy to welcome Maureen Ryan back to the show. She is the TV critic for the Chicago Tribune. I read her blog online. It's called The Watcher. There's must-read stuff there all the time. Happy New Year, Mo.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I was reading your blog a couple of weeks ago when you ran down your top TV shows of the year, and you said it was tough to find 10 to fill out a top 10 list.
Well,
that's
I thought
sad.
It would be, but I ended up going back over the whole year and what I had enjoyed, and I ended up having to, I sort of had 11, as it turned out, plus I threw the election in there, which I thought, as it played out on various different shows, was a kind of a fun saga, if you will.
Yeah, I thought it was the most compelling reality show of the year.
It was, absolutely. It kept me on my toes. I never knew what was going to happen next.
Who emerged as a winner, aside from the politicians, of course, and the Obama campaign, who in TV emerged as a winner because of all of that coverage?
I think some of the comedy shows, Colbert Report, Daily Show, I think the View certainly had people talking with what they were talking about. I think Anderson Cooper and John King of CNN did, you know, the CNN overall did extremely well in the ratings, and it seemed to kind of have its act together. You know, Rachel Maddow is a new kind of cable titan, if you will, or sort of junior titan. She was sort of coronated during the course of the election as a new personality, and that was kind of an interesting thing to watch as well. So what was interesting for me is how many different, you know, everyone from comedians to talk, you know, daytime talk to news personalities, like all across the board, there were people. And of course, you've got to talk about, you know, Sarah Palin, as played by Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live. She might have been the biggest star of the campaign, I think. Tina Fey, or I think Tina Fey's star will continue to shine no matter what.
Yeah, the Associated Press called her the Entertainer of the Year. She's got a hit movie, she's got an Emmy Award-winning TV show, and of course, the Sarah Palin thing put her over the top, didn't it?
It did. You know, her show is not one of the most highly rated shows. Her 30 Rock, I think, is a great show. If nothing else, it helped draw attention to the fact that that show exists. I don't know if a large number of people actually knew that Tina Fey had a show every Thursday night on NBC, but now they do.
Yeah, although I did think NBC blew it by holding off the season premiere of 30 Rock for several weeks while she was being a star on Saturday Night Live.
The biggest star on the planet. What was that about? What was that thinking? I mean, this is the biggest promotional vehicle you could ever have asked for. I don't get it. I don't get that at all.
I don't either. And let me just go back to, you mentioned Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
Her network, MSNBC, certainly found its new voice.
Yes.
In this year. What does all of this mean for Fox News going forward?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, if you want to make a really strange comparison, you know, The Daily Show, I guess you could say, has been the voice of, perhaps you could say, dissent against the Bush administration. And I think that there's a role for that, you know. And I think that obviously that Fox News will not be the, you know, I don't know if it'll be the primary vehicle for the Obama administration to get its message out. But I think that you know, there's certainly going to be a lot of opposition to whatever happens going forward over the next 4 years. And I think Fox News could certainly position itself as being the skeptic, if you will, as far as what's going to happen next.
You know, as I looked over your list of the best TV of 2008, there's one from AMC, there's one from FX, there's one from Sci-Fi, there's one from HBO, there's one from the Internet with Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. It seems to me like the best TV shows are not on the big four networks anymore.
That's my feeling, you know, quite honestly. If you look at the next part of the list, the runners-up, of which I think there are about 15 or so, there's quite a few network shows, but I think that's one thing that actually worries me, to be perfectly honest. I really wonder where the next risk-taking, interesting, challenging, intellectually stimulating shows are coming from. You know, where's the next Sopranos or Mad Men or, you know, shows like that, or The Shield. These are shows, I think, that really raise the bar for television. And I'm not someone who just says cable's always good and the big networks are always bad. I think that's really not a good way to think about it. But, yeah, I do wonder if the networks, especially in this current economic climate, if the big networks are just going to circle the wagon and just start giving us more and more police procedurals, which I think they can be done well. Do we need another 30 of those next year? This year? I don't think so.
It's the Big 89 WLS. Paul Harris talking with Maureen Ryan, the TV critic for the Chicago Tribune. How much of what we're talking about here in the dearth of good TV is a result of the TV writers' strike last year? And are we going to have another strike by the actors?
That's an excellent question. I think a lot of the turmoil in TV in 2008 was a direct result of the writers' strike. And I think we saw, you know, when the writers did come back in about late February, all the networks rushed to get the majority of their shows back into production. I'm looking at that now and wondering, you know, that might have been something of a mistake, although I understand why they did that, to kind of keep the awareness of their programs in front of the audience. Quite a few of the shows that did come back, though, did not have their best moments. They were kind of slapdash and thrown together, and it showed. I actually think the biggest effect of the strike was this fall, because I don't know about you, but I couldn't find one new show that I thought, hey, you know, this is really good. I really want to go and tell people about this and you know, beat the bushes to get people to watch this show. I mean, it was just very much, you know, a season when we had Knight Rider. Let's just put it that way. We had a new version of Knight Rider, which nobody asked for, nobody wanted, and we got it anyway.
We also had some.
Shake that off. I actually am really excited about what's coming up for the first few months of 2009. So I feel like this is the real season for me.
Well, let's talk about that. What's coming up that we should look forward to?
Well, I think some returning shows that kind of were delayed by the strike are just we're not going to come back until around now. Anyhow, Lost, I saw the season premiere of Lost, and I think if you're a Lost fan, I think you're going to find something to like about it. It's a two-hour deal. It's January 21st.
And thank you for not posting spoilers on the blog. I really appreciate that as a fan.
Oh, I'm really that way. I mean, if I ever do have things that are hints or teases, I always put them behind a wall and say, don't read this part if you're really anti-spoiler. I really don't think that your viewing experience is going to be enhanced by knowing maybe one little thing out of the 2 hours. But all I'll say is I love the opening few minutes. Like, there's an opening bit in Lost, and I think if you're really into the Lost nerdy stuff, all the backstory and the mythology of the show, you will love it. You'll love the opening minutes especially. It's a fun ride. It's a little bit, my only caveat is that, you know, keep a notebook and pencil in front of you so you can keep track of various things that kind of transpire, because it's that kind of show. You got to really pay attention, and, you know, I would much rather a show overestimate my intelligence than underestimate it.
Absolutely, although I will tell you, I've seen every episode of this show, and I long ago gave up trying to figure out what the heck was going on.
I'm with you, actually. I think that, you know, what's great about the show, though, is they don't require you to be so obsessive that you remember every little thing. If they're going to call back to something, usually they'll refer to it and explain it to you again so that you kind of have a little bit of a you have your bearings as you go forward into whatever scene they're about to do. I mean, the thing is that the show's really trying to be a popular hit and also really cater to the people who are super into it. And I think that's a fine line to walk, and I think they actually do it pretty well, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I've also seen Battlestar Galactica, the first episode of the new season, and my reaction to seeing that, this is their last batch of episodes coming up starting January 16th. My first response was to post on my blog the following note, that I'm not going to post anything about this show. I mean, I will after the fact. I don't want people. I actually think that just for the last bunch of episodes of Battlestar, if you're a fan, I would try to avoid looking at spoilers or even hints or teases of any kind for the new season. I think this show is really good at surprising you and just blowing your mind. I think, to me, the best experience is when it does that and I've got no idea it's coming. And I think, you know, just this last bunch of episodes, again, I'm not against, you know, teasers and spoilers, generally speaking, but, you know, I think you just really want to go into it cold. You want to go into it just kind of feeling like, I don't know what's going to happen, and I think you'll be rewarded by that not knowing a thing.
What else is coming up? I know American Idol is back in a couple of weeks, and that'll dominate prime time for about 4 months, right?
American Idol will be back, and I think we'll be hearing more about it than ever this time because they're trying to shake up the format a little bit. They've brought in a new judge, and you know everyone's going to tune in to see how that dynamic works out. I think what's the only good news on that front, and you know I always liked it the last few weeks of the show because it's so dramatic, but the first few months I could do without. They're going to reduce the number of audition rounds. Thank you for that, American Idol.
We'll cut out these Sanjaya wannabes.
Yeah, all the people who are just, you know, really deluded about their skills, and sometimes they just appear, you know, not quite right in certain ways, and that just, to me, seems cruel. The auditions that are people who seem deluded or deranged, not interesting to me at all. But on a happier note, there's a show that I'm really excited about, another cable show that you may have heard of. I guess it debuted in 2007. It's called Damages, and it stars Glenn Close.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, what a cast for this show. They've got William Hurt. They've got Timothy Oliphant, who was on Deadwood. They've got Ted Danson. You know, it's an incredible cast in this show. And it's a really interesting murder mystery melodrama, and I actually wonder if this season might be better than the first season. I know that Damages is one of those shows I get asked about all the time, and it was definitely delayed by the strike. So I know there are people out there, like, waiting for when Damages will come back. Well, you know, your prayers have been answered. It comes back January 7th on the FX network, and I think it's really, really, really a great sort of, it's sort of like reading a page-turner mystery. You never know what's going to happen next. It's a little bit melodramatic, but it's incredibly well acted. So
now, for those of us who watched it at the beginning and have kind of forgotten what happened, is FX going to run like a marathon of the original episodes for us?
No, they tend not to do that because some of their shows tend to be a little bit, you know, they can't really run them in the daytime or they don't want to because there could be some sophisticated content, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all you need to know is that there's a litigator in New York called Patty Hughes that's played by Glenn Close. She has this young protege, Ellen Parsons, and as things transpired last year, Ellen ended up finding out that Patty was not a very nice person and actually was involved in some shenanigans that ended up with she tried to take a hit out on Ellen. Her own employee.
Hmm.
Now Ellen is working for the government and trying to trap Patty and send her to prison while still working at her law firm and appearing to be the model employee. So there's this, and then there's a new case that comes along this year. Basically every year, every season seems to revolve around one big law case, and you'll see that start to unfold as well. And it's just, you know what I mean? It's just like a juicy, I mean, to me, it's like an old movie like Mildred Pierce or something like that. You know, it's just got this juicy melodrama, almost film noir element. And it's just kind of, like I said, a page-turning mystery.
Excellent. Okay. What else is coming up?
Oh, wow. So much. There's a show that I really like called Flight of the Conchords on HBO, which is really fun. We've got House moving to a new night. That's going to be January 19th. It's going to be on Mondays alongside 24.
Now, is it moving to Mondays because of American Idol taking over Tuesdays?
Something like that, yeah. And I really wish that they would pair up House with another new show, like perhaps the new Joss Whedon show, which would, you know, House would give it a great lead-in, or American Idol itself would give Dollhouse a great lead-in. But they're pairing up on Mondays, 24 and House, which seems like a really strange combination
to
me. I'm actually kind of hoping they pull stuff out of the fire with House. I haven't been that pleased with it lately. I think they're focusing way too much on one of his junior doctors, 13.
Yes.
And I think that's just gotten very tiresome. I don't think that the supporting characters are interesting enough right now. I mean, obviously House is the main draw, but you don't want it to be the House show with some boring people.
Also, they're running into this thing where every patient that comes in has a disease that is directly related to something going on in the private life of one of the other doctors who works with House. And so they, you know, Taub gets involved with a patient who has similar problems that he has, and on and on and on. Once they start turning a show internal like that, to me, it completely falls apart.
Well, and I think that's not the show. I mean, I think what's great about House is that it has been unpredictable.
Yeah.
And I think once you turn it into a formula that we can all guess, then I don't think it's half as interesting.
Yep.
You know? So I really hope that's been one of my favorite shows. I really hope it returns to that status soon. You know,
I'm also
waiting
for a patient on that show to come on and say, you know, I've heard about you and you're a fantastic diagnostician, but what I've heard is you get it wrong three times before you get it right the fourth time, and you almost kill the patient along the way. So why don't we just assume the first three things you come up with are going to be wrong,
yeah,
and I'll wait till the fourth thing before you medicate me.
Yeah, don't put anything in my IV until, like, maybe your sixth try, and then I'm okay with it. You know?
There you go.
We've also got a new show called The United States of Tara on Showtime, and that has a little bit of a local connection. Diablo Cody, who grew up here in Chicago, is the executive producer and writer of this show, which stars Toni Collette as a woman with multiple personalities. To be honest, I think this is one of those shows that has so much potential. Toni Collette is an incredible actress. She proves that right from the first frame of United States of Tara, which comes out January 18th on Showtime. But I think that, to me, it's too superficial. Everything about it is about the kind of hipster dialogue, and, you know, the characters are not well-developed enough for me to keep wanting to tune in. And
sounds like a sophomore jinx for Diablo Cody after Juno.
Well, I think she's a really talented writer. I think this show is just very much on the surface, though. And my thing is this. Yes, I do have a DVR, and I can record lots of shows. But the shows I go back to, the shows I actually play and don't just let pile up there in my, you know, DVR,
yeah,
are the ones with people where I want to know what happens to them next. And I don't feel that yet with United States of Tara. But, you know, I'm hoping it will get some momentum, because I think that she does have a unique and interesting voice, and I would, you know, again, I think the cast is really talented.
More on what's coming up in the 2009 TV season and reviews and previews and all the rest, read Maureen Ryan in the Chicago Tribune and read her Watcher blog online through the Tribune website. There's always great stuff on there, and it's always a pleasure talking to you. Hope you
Thank
have
you
a very
so
happy
much,
New
Paul.
Year.
Thank you. Hope you do, too.
Mo Ryan here with Paul Harris, filling in for Man Cow on the Big 89 WLS.